And take your Bibles, and if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read three verses of scripture there in Matthew 24, and then Matthew 16, one verse of scripture right there. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44. This message has been, I guess for want of a better phrase, marinating in my soul for some time. I've been eager to preach it, to relieve myself of the burden which God has given me for this day, this message. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 to 44. Watch, therefore. Everybody say watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. Everybody say, we don't know. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 16, verse 26 says, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is it profited? What have you gained if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I want to minister on this title, This Life, A Dress Rehearsal for Eternity. A dress rehearsal for eternity. This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence that is here today. Lord, I thank you for every soul that's in this place and under the sound of my voice today. Lord God, I pray that you would turn me into a microphone from heaven. Hide me behind the cross, oh God. And I pray that it would not just be my words, oh God, but that you would speak through me, oh God. Words of warning, words of correction, words of life and hope, oh God. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And let our ears be ready to hear, our hearts soft and ready to receive. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. A dress rehearsal for eternity. A dress rehearsal for eternity. I remember when I was young and I was at school, we would do plays and skits and things like that, concerts and things like that. We would always make sure that we had a dress rehearsal. Everyone say a dress rehearsal. In other words, we were getting ready for that day, the big day, the day that would where we would be there and doing the production. We were getting ready for that day, but to get ready for, listen to me carefully, to get ready for that day, we had to rehearse today. To get ready for that day, we had to rehearse today. And in a dress rehearsal, you dress the part for the day to come. Yes, there were many dress rehearsals where we made mistakes. You will make mistakes. That's the reason why we have them. But if you keep looking toward that day, if you keep your eyes on that big day, the next dress rehearsal will be better than the last. You see, it's important what we look at. And so when we are preparing for that big production, the dress rehearsal would start. The first one was rough, but you know, we were slowly getting the hang of it. And then the next one would be better. Why? Because we were looking forward to that day. And because we had our eyes on that day, each dress rehearsal we went through was getting better and better, and we made less mistakes. Our life is a dress rehearsal for that day. The difference is, though, Jesus told us that no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. But he said, you got to be ready. You got to keep your eyes on that day because it's coming soon. No man knows the day nor the hour, but get your eyes fixed on that day that you can be ready. And so our priorities, our lifestyle choices, everything we do in life ought to be motivated by that day. That eternal perspective must motivate our life. I must realize that I'm not just here for the now and now, but I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus will come in the clouds, when the trumpet will sound and we will go to be with him in the Lord. I want to be ready. When we go to that judgment seat, I want to be ready. I don't want to be one of those that are cast into outer darkness and into hell. I want to hear the words of my Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so I'll be up front today, church. My task today is to change your perspective. My task today is for you to get your eyes and your perspective fixed on heaven, to fixed on eternity. My task today is to make in your mind heaven bigger. I want to make heaven bigger than this life. Perspective. You see, our default in life is to make this life bigger and that life smaller. And that's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he loses his own soul? And so Jesus was addressing the default in mankind, is that we would put the emphasis on today and make today big and make eternity small. And Jesus said, if you do that, you've profited nothing. So our tendency, even some of us here today, even myself, we invest everything in the here and now. We think that this is all there is. And we underinvest in the there and then. We underinvest in our eternity. I've come to remind somebody today that this life we live, if you get 70 years, you are blessed. But this life that we are living is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. You got to make sure that you're ready for that day. And so we got to reverse our tendency to shift the focus off now and focus on that day. And so if you take God seriously today, then you've got to do something with what God wants. If you take God seriously, then it is on you to do something with the Word of God and what God wants you to do with your life. But if you keep God vague, and that's where a lot of Christians, they just try to keep God vague. You know, they don't want to walk away from God, but if they just keep him vague enough, then they can excuse themselves to do whatever they want. I got to live with eternity on my mind. I got to make sure that I understand that this life is not everything. That this life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. That this life is a preparation for that time when Jesus will come. And by keeping my perspective right, but keeping my mind on eternity, it helps me stay accountable to God. Every day, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to deal with the issues in my life. I want to fix those mistakes and get back up from when I fall down. When I live with that eternity perspective, it changes the way I live. And I that's what I want today. I want to change your perspective, change your thinking so that you would get your mind on eternity. And if you could get your mind on that day, it will change the way you live today. It will change your priorities. It will change your focus. It will change everything that is about you. I want to make heaven big today and now smaller in your mind. You see, Noah, he was given a big task. But unless he had his eyes on that day, he would never have built an ark. He had to do a lot of things he didn't understand. He'd never even seen rain before, let alone a boat. He had to build. He had to do all these things. He got plans directly from God, specific plans. And because Noah, he didn't just have his mind on today Because if he had his mind on today, he'd be saying, well, there's not much rain. I'm feeling a bit tired. I don't really feel like doing this. But because God had told him that there is coming a day, he said, you know what? I've got to live with my eyes on that day. And so Noah had his eyes on that day when the flood would come, and it changed the way he lived. It changed his family. They served with him. He did things he didn't even understand, but God said, do it. He said, okay, I'm going to do it because I've got my eyes on that day. Noah could live a different kind of life because why? He was looking at a different kind of world. Noah could live a different kind of life because he had his eyes on a different day. The old song says, years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. The chorus goes on to say, signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Did anyone know what I'm talking about? It feels like something's about to happen. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Lift up your heads because your redemption draweth nigh. The second verse says this old song, wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt he'll come, but the word of God is true. He will redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope, soon Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I've come to remind you today that I'm living for eternity. I got my eyes on that day. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. And you know what? I got to be ready. I got to get my eyes fixed on that day. And if I don't have my eyes fixed on that day, then I'll never be ready. This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. And so here we are today. Here we are in church, and a lot of times we kind of miss it, especially young people miss it. They say, well, Pastor, I'm young. Nothing to worry about. I'm not going to die and see Jesus till I'm old. So I got a lot of time. Let me tell you, you don't have a lot of time. Things can change like that. Just like that. A lot of times we're just expecting to go see Jesus via the undertaker. But the Bible tells us that he also going to come and be the upper taker. That we're going to go and be caught away with him. Let me tell you, no man knows the day nor the hour. But Jesus told us, he said, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're living the life. Make sure you're obeying God's word. Watch therefore, because you don't know. But keep your eyes on that day. Hebrews 11:25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. I'm reading a different version, the Amplified version. It says, don't forsake the assembling together as believers. And it says, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing. Other versions say, warning, urging, and encouraging. You know what I see when I read that? I read, you know what, when we come to church, our responsibility as believers is to help people get their eyes off their life now and get their eyes on eternity. Because some of us are going to come to church and we're going to have a bad week. We're going to have made some mistakes, but we're going to feel encouraged and say, you know what? Get your eyes on that day. There's coming a day. We're not just here for the here and now, but we got to be ready. We got to keep moving forward. We got to keep living for God. And so when we gather together, we are told to admonish, to urge, to warn, to encourage one another. And then it says, do that even more as you see the day approaching. And we don't know the day, but we do know the seasons and the times. We are seeing the fulfillment of prophecy. So we are to be together in midweek and in Bible study and in church and encouraging and urging and reminding people, hey, don't get your eyes on this world. Don't worry about what's going on here. This is all just a dress rehearsal for eternity. And the world says silly things like this: you only live once. Anybody ever heard that term? You only live once. I said that and my dad rebuked me once. We were out in the Torres Strait Islands and there were sharks everywhere in the water, and everyone was jumping off the boat and trying to spear fish and all that. And I said to my dad goes, "There's sharks in there, Jonathan. You don't be so foolish. Those men know what they're doing. You don't know." I said, "Dad, you only live once." And just jumped in, you know. He said to me, I can't believe you, because just before I jumped, that big shark went right under the boat. And all the Islander boys that with me said, "Don't worry, he's not hungry." My dad wasn't convinced, but I took them at their word. "You only live once." And I said to Dad, "At least I'll die having fun." But the world, that's what the world says when it comes to their ungodly lifestyle. "Eat, drink, and be merry. You only live once." And you know what? Even Christians can say those sort of things. I read a book once by a famous Christian, "Your Best Life Now." I thought, I wonder if he has any friends that thought, you know, that's not a great title for a book. Because for a Christian, your best life is not now. We look forward to that day when we're going to go and see Jesus. It's not my best life now. I'm going to try my best to have a good life now, but our best life is later, because Jesus is going to come back. When I die, I'm going to go to see him. If he comes in the clouds, I'm going to go and see him. You see, we don't live once. We are looking forward to our reward in heaven. We've got to get our eyes fixed on heaven. This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons," since the end is coming, what does it say? "What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Since Jesus is coming back, since the end of time is soon, look at yourself and say, "What manner of person am I? Am I living the life that God has called me to live?" Then it says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise," everyone say, "Nevertheless." "We, according to the promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." I got my eyes fixed on that day. Today is just a dress rehearsal. I'm going to make sure that I'm living righteously. I'm going to make sure I'm living godly now. But it's just a dress rehearsal, because why? We look for a new heaven and a new earth. There was a prime minister. I mentioned this story a few years ago. It's an incredible story. One of the brothers in our church went on to research it more and read about it more. But there was a prime minister in the UK. He served had a career for about 60 years, and his name was Gladstone. And Gladstone was a committed Christian who always attended church. He also taught Sunday school throughout his adult life. He was very involved in the church. And in fact, his aim in his early life, Gladstone, who eventually became the prime minister of England, his aim was to become a pastor. But it wasn't long after his graduation from Oxford that his strong-willed father, he insisted that Gladstone go into politics. And shortly before he died, Gladstone gave a speech in which he told about visiting a young, ambitious man. And this young, ambitious man came to Gladstone. He said, "I want a little bit of advice about life." And so Gladstone asked him, he said, "What do you hope to do when you graduate from college?" The young man replied, "Well, I hope to attend law school, sir, just as you did, Gladstone." Gladstone replied and said, "Well, that's a very noble thing. And then after that, what are you going to do after you've graduated law school?" He said, "Well, I hope to practice law and make a good name for myself, defending the poor and defending the outcasts of society, just like you did, Gladstone." "Well, that's a very noble purpose, son," But then what? Well, sir, I hope one day to stand for Parliament and to become a servant of the people just like you, Gladstone. He said, well, son, that's a very noble hope that you have, but what then? Well, I would hope then, after entering politics and serving my community, that one day that I could serve the government as the Prime Minister and to be like you, to serve with the same vigor and the same dedication and the same vision and the same integrity as you, Gladstone. Gladstone asked again, he said, well, then after that, then what? He said, well, after all of that, I hope to retire and I hope to have, you know, honor and to write my memoirs and just like you are, Gladstone. I want to be like you. And he said, well, you know, son, that's all very, very noble. But then what? The young man thought for a moment, well, sir, I suppose then I will die. And Gladstone said, well, that's correct. And then what? The young man looked puzzled. And he answered hesitantly. He said, I've never really thought about that. Let me tell you, we've got to live our life with our eyes on that day. Whether we leave this earth via an undertaker or whether we leave this earth via an upper taker. I want to ask you, even if you gain the whole world, and then what? Oh, after you've achieved everything in this world, then what? I'm not against achieving things. I'm not against being ambitious. I'm not against working hard. But you got to make sure you understand that this is not the most important day. The most important day is when Jesus comes back. And this life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. Some homework for you to do, brothers and sisters. If you can read in your Bible and write this down, read Ezekiel chapter 37 through to verse 39. Go and study it. Read it. Ezekiel 37 to 39. Read about each of the places that are mentioned there in Ezekiel 37 to 39. Research those places. Research and find out what modern day countries they're speaking of. Because many believe that Ezekiel's prophecies between Ezekiel 37 and 39, they believe that they are speaking of Russia and Persia, which we know as Iran. And right here, if you read these prophecies by Ezekiel, it speaks of a military alliance between Russia and Persia and Iran. This war between Gog, and some people may have heard these words, Gog and Magog. And many scholars believe that Ezekiel 38 is speaking of Magog, that is Russia, and the country from the north attacking Israel. I'm not saying that's what's happening between the Ukraine and Russia right now is that. But if Russia takes over the Ukraine, then suddenly everything begins to change. We are teetering on a world war. I'm not here to scare anybody, but you know, I don't have to tell you anything. If America decides to get involved, everything just goes up a couple more notches. But we got to make sure we're ready. And if you look at all the current affairs, and if you just look at the trajectory on where we're heading, if you read Ezekiel 37 to 39, it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows. What do you believe, Pastor? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean to say what Jesus said, that we don't know the day nor the hour. We got to be ready today because Jesus could come at any time. We have seen so much prophecy fulfilled already. Just look at the nation of Israel, basically wiped off the map. No country. In our lifetime, we have seen the formation of Israel again, just as the Bible prophesied. I believe we're going to see it unfolding. We are in the last days. But I've come to tell you, church, God has everything under control. Yeah, we're going to see prophecy fulfilled. But I want to tell you, be ready. Because when that trumpet sounds, I want to be ready to go and meet him in the air. This life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. Matthew 24. Jesus is with his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and they said, Jesus, what shall be the sign of your coming? What shall be the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus said, oh, there are going to be many false Christs. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, he said. These things will happen, but it's not the end yet. Nation will rise against nation. You've got to understand that that word nation means ethnicity. Ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group. It's not going to follow the boundaries of the international boundaries that we know today. It'll be ethnic group against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences. I don't need to talk about pestilences, do I? Earthquakes, Christians being hated, false prophets, many deceived, many offended. And it says, and because of the sin in the world, the love of many will wax cold. People will walk away from God, even in the last days. It will surprise you. He that endureth to the end, though, shall be saved. The Bible tells us of this great, glorious day, this end of human history, the second coming of Jesus Christ, that we're going to see signs of the times, fulfilled prophecies, world events, societal trends, all of these things. The cashless society, it's basically here right now. We are seeing the foreshadowing of a one world government. We are seeing the preparation of the mark of the beast. It was all foretold in the Bible. We are living in the times of the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is coming back, church. And you may think I'm stupid, but I'm not going to leave this pulpit until you know that you got to live your life with your eyes set on that day. That this life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. Signs are like labor pains. Oh, they're like labor pains. The more those birth contractions happen, the closer they get together, the more frequent they are, the more intense we know that the time is coming. And it's happening week after week. And Jesus told us, and this is what I'm worried about, church. Listen to me. Bear with me. Many Christians have got so accustomed to hearing the preaching of the coming of the Lord that they've tuned out the urgency. They've tuned out the urgency. I remember times as a young child around Lucas's age when I hear preaching of the coming of the Lord, my seat would be burning to get to the front and pray and make it right with God. I remember once there was a preaching of a sermon in a conference, and they had the big curtain at the back of the conference. This is back before, you know, we had all the fancy screens and all that sort of stuff. And so the pastor said, when I'm preaching about the coming of the Lord, he asked one of the members of the band to go behind the big curtain at the back of the stage, and he said, I want you to blow the trumpet. And so while he was preaching about the second coming of the Lord, one of the musicians went back and blew the trumpet, and young people climbed over their seats to get to the altar. And that's what concerns me, is that we've heard the preaching so long that we've become accustomed to it. And it's like one of those alarms. You know when your neighbor's alarm goes off? Oh, there it is again. We just tune it out. No one even goes to check anymore. You know what I'm talking about? And Jesus said that's what would happen. He said that people would be so consumed with their own personal pursuits. They will be pursuing their own lifestyle. They'll be consumed in this day. They will be thinking that everything will just continue like it has every day. And Jesus said that's what's going to happen in the last days. A lot of people like to talk about the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, the son of perdition, or the man of perdition, the Antichrist, he will rise. And the Bible says he's going to rise out of the chaos of the world. It's going to be a chaotic time in the world. And this man of perdition, this Antichrist, is going to rise up during this time of chaos, and he's going to offer solutions. And people are going to look to the Antichrist because he's going to bring solutions to all the trouble. And people are thinking that he's going to come. And that's true. That's what the Bible says. But John tells us in 1 John 4 verse 3. It's going to be on the screen, I think, there. Right it is. Right there it is. The second dot point. John explained. He said, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Everyone say the spirit. Which you have heard was coming, but is now already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world. What is the Antichrist? The Antichrist is one that will stand against and in opposition to everything that Jesus represents. The spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist will influence religion. It will influence government. It will influence education. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? The spirit of Antichrist will influence entertainment and literature. You can see it with your own eyes right now. We're looking for that Antichrist to come, that man of perdition. But I want to tell you, the Bible says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world. And so we got to resist that spirit of the Antichrist. We got to resist it. And how do you resist it? You don't focus on the day. You just get your eyes on eternity. Get your eyes on heaven. Get your eyes when Jesus is coming back. I got to be ready. I can't be distracted. I can't be sidetracked. I can't be weak. I got to be strong. Why? Because this life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. Everybody say eternity. I'm sorry if you feel uncomfortable today. I'm sorry for our guest today. You come to church and pastors talking about the last days. I'm sorry. But just because you're a guest doesn't mean we change the menu. We got to be ready, church. We got to reorder some things in our lives. There's some priorities have got to change. Get right with God. Make sure your soul is ready. It doesn't matter how many letters are after your name. It doesn't matter how many badges of honor you wear. It doesn't matter what you accomplish. It doesn't matter how much you've got in your bank account. The only thing that matters is, are you ready when Jesus comes back? For what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? They tell you, you don't need a preacher today. You need a pastor. You don't need someone to preach a nice, smooth message today. You need a rod and a staff, just like David said. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Everyone say comfort. Everybody said, well, I thought nice preaching was comfortable preaching, but David had a different idea. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when the Bible speaks and when the Word of God speaks to us, it's going to reprove and correct and instruct in righteousness. And it's going to correct us and reprove us and make us feel uncomfortable, just like the rod and the staff. You see, the rod was the defensive part of that staff. Some people think it was a rod and a staff. Some people think the rod was one end and the staff was the crooked end. But David said both parts, the rod, which is used to defend himself from animals and bears and lions that try to attack, he said it brings comfort. And we say, of course, if a bear's going to attack me, I want to make sure I got a rod, something to protect myself. The staff comforts us. The staff wasn't used on the bears and the lions. No, it was used for correcting the sheep. And I want to know that God's got a rod and staff to bring me into line and make sure that when I start focusing on the here and now, that He corrects my path. I want the comfort of the Word of God. I want to be able to come to church and know that if I'm not living right, that God's going to speak to me and correct me. That if I'm not living right, that the Word of God's going to be preached and it's going to prick my heart and it's going to get my eyes off today and get my eyes on eternity. I want to tell you, church, this life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. You see, some of us are living overcrowded lives. Yes, busyness. We're living in the rat race. Let me tell you, if the only person that wins the rat race, you're still a rat. Overcrowded lives. Matthew 13 talks about it. He says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. There was nothing wrong with the soil. Listen to me. There was nothing wrong with the soil. There was nothing wrong with the seeds. The problem was the overcrowded condition. The thorns sprung up and choked them. And you know, if you want to streamline your business, you get rid of everything that's not profitable. Things that are restricting, you get rid of those things so you can streamline. And we need to streamline our lives. Because some of us have got so many things going on that even if we wanted to live for God, we wouldn't have time. Even if we wanted to apply the word of God to our life, we wouldn't have any time in our schedule. Why? There's not a problem with the soil. There's not a problem with the seed. The seed is the word of God. The problem is our overcrowded lives. And so when you get your eyes on eternity and you think about the here and now, you start knowing what's really important. You start casting aside the things that don't matter. You see, this is it. We often blame the devil, but we can blame ourselves a lot of the time as well. Sometimes we would rather fight devils than to fight our stuff. Everybody say our stuff. It's our stuff that crowds out God. It's easy to live for God. And some of you know what I'm talking about today. It's easy to live for God when you've got nothing. But when you get stuff, when you get riches, it gets in the way. Our challenge, brothers and sisters, here in Canberra, in Australia, listen to me. Our challenge is not the absence of things. Our challenge is the abundance of things. We've overcrowded our lives. Even if the word of God wants to take root, we got no time in our diary for that. Ain't got no time for that, God. Our challenge is not the absence of opportunity. Australia is the land of opportunity. Our challenge is the abundance of opportunity. We get involved in lesser causes. We give ourselves. We invest in lesser causes. And those things that don't matter, you got to remember, you got to get your eyes on eternity. And those things, those thorns and those weeds and the overcrowded life is literally choking us. What is the profit of man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? No man knows the day nor the hour, but just remember, this life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. I know with the news, and you can focus on everything that's happening in society. Don't worry about that too much. Just get the feel for the season. Some Christians are so focused on fulfillment of prophecy and what's happening in the news that they forgot about making sure they're ready. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says, will he find faith? Oh yeah, once upon a time I believed in Jesus. Yes, I believed in the finished work of the cross once upon a time. No, he's saying, are you still living? Are you still obeying? You see, faith is not a point in time. We've got to live the life God has called us to live. That's why the Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so here it is. Don't focus on the signs. Don't focus on the times. Check yourself out. Am I ready? Am I ready? And it's a distraction. I know it's interesting. I get distracted by ABC News 24 looking at all those things. And you know, if you watch it long enough, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. We get distracted. And you know what? It would be more beneficial if I spent my time with the Lord. Check yourself out before you check the news out. 2 Thessalonians says, don't be troubled. Now, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. Everyone say, don't be troubled. Never forget, biblical prophecies, the end time prophecies say that in the end, don't forget, in the end, we win. Don't be troubled. Just stay on the right track. Just keep living for Jesus. There's troubled times, but don't be troubled. Endure to the end. Keep preaching the gospel. Yeah, you know what? God forbid that I be the only one that goes to heaven. I don't take somebody with me. In fact, let me tell you like this. You can't take anything in this world with you except a lost soul. The only thing you can take to heaven is the person that you reached and told about Jesus. All those nice clothes, gone. All that money, gone. All those achievements, gone. the only thing. And so, yeah, troubled times. Yes, fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, Jesus is coming. But I got to keep my eyes on myself. I got to keep reaching for the lost. And Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when you leave this place today, I don't want you to walk out of church, oh, Pastor, they preached about the end times. Oh, my goodness, I'm so troubled. No. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I know it's bad news on the news, but I know in the end that we win. The church is victorious. We can make it. I want to tell you, I got my eyes on eternity. We can't be distracted. All these years I've sung songs about heaven. All these years I've heard my dad preach about heaven. All these years I prayed at this altar to be ready. I thought, I preached, I dreamed, I heard it all about heaven. I want to tell you, I wouldn't want to miss it for the world. But what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. If the musicians could come right now. I want to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Paul told us in 2 Timothy 3 that perilous times will come. Everyone say perilous. But Joel also prophesied that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In perilous times, there's going to be an outpouring of the spirit on every person. Perilous times. I choose to focus on a victorious church. I want to tell you today that the church is not going to limp over the line. The church isn't going to limp over the line. I want to tell you, in the last days, we're going to be a victorious church. You got to read your Bible and get your eyes on the book of Revelation. Like Sister Cole used to say, I'm not worried. I read the back of the book and we win. If you're wondering today, I want to tell you, you're on the right team today. Team Jesus will get you there. Get your eyes on eternity. Oh, my grandmother. It was just yesterday. It was her anniversary of her passing, and I won't forget. She sat in her hospital bed, and she opened up her Bible, and her Bible is all marked up, all with everything, notes written, and she's going through all these things. She always loved genealogies and things like that. She would have been speaking for like 2 hours, and she's going through, and I started, because you... Her mind wasn't as that sharp. She's in her 90s, so she would be making sense, and then she would get distracted and then come back to that point again. She was fascinating like that, wasn't she, Melanie? She'd get distracted and go right off, talk about something else, and you'd think that she'd forgotten what she's talking about. Half an hour, she'd come back to where she was. Where was I? Yes, right. And she looked up from her glasses, and I'll never forget this. She looked down her glasses. She said, we're on the right train, Jonathan. We're going to make it to stay with Jesus. So simple. After all the scriptures she read, just looked over her glasses. She said, we're on the right train. Stay with Jesus. To get ready for that day, you rehearse today. Let your perspective of eternity change the way you live. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved in 2 Peter 3 verse 11. Since the end of days is coming, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. Ah, yes. I'm going to march to the beat of a different drum. This church ought to be marching to a beat of a different drum. Why? Why? Why are you so passionate about God? Why do you live such a different life? Why are you different to other people? Let me tell you, why we march to the beat of a different drum is because we got our eyes on another day. A different day. Not the here and now, but this life, Jackson, is a dress rehearsal for eternity. Let's stand in this place right now. Let's lift our hands right now. This is the most important part of the service. Because what will happen right now, it's your opportunity to respond to what God has been speaking in your heart. Some of you right now already know that your priorities are all over the place. Your life is overcrowded. Pastor, I'm feeling challenged, but I just don't have the time to do any of that. I tell you, it's not important. It's not important. The most important thing is I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Oh, but Pastor, it's not nice being a Christian. You know, it's difficult being different. You know, all those things that we don't do as Christians. Yeah, it's awkward. I tell you, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus' church. When we hear those words, well done, thou good. Everybody say good. Everybody say faithful. And everybody say servant. He can only say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you've been good, if you've been faithful, and if you've been a servant. And so we march to a beat of a different drum. Because this life is just a dress rehearsal for eternity. Let's lift our hands and let's pray right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you promised that we're going to be victorious. He that endures to the end. Correct and reprove. Instruct us, oh God. Reorder our lives and our priorities. Change our perspective and our focus, oh God. Oh, yes, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.